Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Great to be back, Newell. We've got some good news to talk about today, as opposed to some of the stuff that tends to raise your blood pressure.
Yeah, well, while that's going on with the good stuff, we've got the mayor with the trying to nix the sanitation measure, and looks like the council nixed her measure to nix the sanitation measure, and then she took $200 million away from Tulane on the medical corridor, and the council had to come in and nix that $200, and the games just keep on going. I mean, I just don't know when it's going to stop.
But, no, I was just talking to somebody and saying that most of my time is spent not going after criminal offenders. It's trying to keep the good guys, the public officials, out of each other's way and tripping over each other that impedes the ability of the criminal justice system and criminal justice agencies to reduce crime. So politics gets in the way of public safety way too frequently, and that is, to me, the biggest frustration in my daily work. It's not identifying and going after the criminal offenders. It's trying to keep the public officials from getting in the way of law enforcement doing their job to protect and serve the people in this community.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it serves as a distraction all the time, and it's just, we could get so much more accomplished if we get on the same sheet of music here, for sure. So what are we going to talk about today? I understand we will look at arrests that have been made by both the LSP Troop NOLA as well as the NOPD officers in their respective districts.
Right. So, you know, we routinely talk about the fact that crime is going down. But twice a year, we do a deeper dive on the agencies that are driving down the crime rate. Historically, it's been the NOPD, but we have a new partner in town, a permanent partner in town, and that's the Louisiana State Police and Troop NOLA. So I wanted to begin the show by talking about their contributions to the crime reductions that we've seen in the city and the way that they're doing approaching the crime problem in the city, which is very different than what the NOPD is doing. So I wanted to start there, and then maybe during the second part of the show, we can talk about some of the NOPD's numbers. And maybe in the third segment, the little 4 minutes that we have at the end, I can, you know, give you a little update on, you know, Mayor Cantrell and the restraining order debacle. She has appealed the adverse rulings to the state Supreme Court, and we can talk about that a little bit. But let's first start by talking about what the Louisiana State Police have done in the first half of 2025. So they arrived here in the beginning of 2024 as a concept, as an idea. And in the first 6 months, when they were creating this troop and the infrastructure, they initially started out with 7 or 8 troopers, and that included some supervisors. The goal is to build Troop NOLA into a permanent troop, staffed with 40-plus troopers. So we started out with about 8. And the first 6 months, they were largely setting up their headquarters and policies and procedures and working out the details to coordinate their efforts with the NOPD. So, you know, we have been able to determine that in the first 6 months of 2024, they made 37 arrests for the reasons that I just described. In the second 6 months of 2024, July through the end of December, they made 226 arrests. In the first 6 months of 2025, they made 340 arrests. And those 8 troopers are now about 24, and that includes supervisors. which is still about half of what they are attempting to build this troop to. So I think it's important for the audience to understand the way that the state police are contributing to public safety in the city, which is different than what the NOPD is doing. So the NOPD is responding to 911 calls. So when someone dials 911, it's not going to be a state trooper that's responding to that call. It's going to be an NOPD officer. What the state police are doing is they're using their training to identify and utilize proactive policing strategies. So when they first got here, they were using the three legs of the stool of proactive policing: drug enforcement, traffic enforcement, and firearms enforcement. Firearms enforcement was largely taken away last August with the state moving to a constitutional carry concept in the state of Louisiana. So troopers could no longer, as well as any law enforcement agency, could no longer be looking for people carrying concealed weapons as the justification to stop someone and commence an investigation. Because it was anyone over the age of 18 could carry a concealed weapon, and no one in law enforcement can stop them or do anything about it. So they began to lean more heavily into the other proactive policing strategies, which is traffic enforcement and drug enforcement. So, as I said, there's only 24 troopers that are here now. So they're in certain hot spots throughout the city in coordination with the NOPD on a daily basis. So they can't cover the whole city. They can only cover a specific segment, and they'll do that in coordination with the police department, and they've actually proven how effective that strategy can be. So over the last 6 months, the Louisiana State Police conducted over 800 traffic stops. So people listening are probably saying, well, what are they doing wasting their time with traffic stops? Well, traffic stops are the tool that's used by law enforcement to not just enforce traffic laws, but what the state police are doing is they're using that as the justification to pull someone over. And that allows them to investigate, ask for the driver's license, determine if that individual is wanted for any other felony offenses. During the course of that investigation, they can observe to see if they have a criminal history, which may mean that they may not be eligible to carry a firearm, making them a felon in possession of a firearm. So those traffic stops yield felony and evolve into felony arrests. So the 800 traffic stops only resulted in the state police issuing 101 tickets. So one in eight of those traffic stops got a ticket. That doesn't mean that the state police didn't have a valid reason to pull those 800 people over. But since what they were looking for were violent and repeat felony offenders, and the 700 people that they pulled over that didn't have felony warrants, had not been involved in any other criminal offenses, they were usually just given a warning and let go. The 101 tickets that they issued, that was to support the arrests that were made with respect to other more serious charges. So 83% of the state police arrests in the first half of 2025 were for felonies. They made 33 arrests for aggravated flight from an officer. So when the state police observe someone violating a traffic law, they put on their lights. And if that person takes off, that's usually an indication that the suspect is got more serious problems than a traffic violation. And since the state police are not subject to NOPD policies and the provisions of the consent decree, the state police are allowed to engage in pursuits. So that's a traffic stop that is now evolved into a felony because an aggravated flight from an officer is, in fact, a felony offense. And when the state police stop that vehicle, they're finding out that the people that fled from them have warrants, guns, drugs, and other felonies in their backgrounds, and they're being booked accordingly. So state police made over two dozen arrests for warrants in the first 6 months of this year. So they pulled someone over for a traffic violation. They found out that there was an active warrant. So if they did not do traffic enforcement, that individual drives on, and that means that a warrant is not executed, which means that the offender is on the streets, which means that those offenders, since they are career criminals in most instances, they're free to commit additional crimes. So with the state police doing traffic enforcement, they arrest those individuals, and those individuals are now being held accountable for the felonies that law enforcement obtained an arrest warrant for. And that also means that they're not on the streets to commit other crimes, which further reduces the crime rate. So those two dozen warrant arrests not only held those individuals accountable for those warrants, it also prevented an untold number of additional felonies from being committed in this community because those offenders were no longer on the streets. And some of the offenses that those warrants were for murder, escape, robbery, felony battery or domestic violence, and illegal use of firearms. So the other proactive tool that law enforcement, particularly Project NOLA, is using besides traffic enforcement is drug enforcement. So troopers and law enforcement don't have to wait for someone to dial 911 to do drug enforcement. They're trained to observe behavior that is indicative of a drug transaction. And when they see that, they rely on their training. They can respond to that, make a stop, begin an investigation, and if there is sufficient evidence uncovered, they arrest those individuals and charge them with not only drugs. So that drug stop may have identified someone that was wanted, may have identified somebody that was in possession of a firearm during a drug transaction, which makes it an even more serious felony arrest. So what the state police are doing is they're not first responders in the traditional sense that when you dial 911, they respond. That's going to be the responsibility of the New Orleans Police Department. What the state police are doing is they're doing hotspot policing in conjunction and cooperation with the NOPD, and they're going to work certain limited areas on different days of the week, using traffic enforcement and drug enforcement to identify violent and repeat offenders. And the fact that a total of 24 troopers in over the last 6 months have made over 340 arrests, and we're seeing the reductions that we're receiving and quantified over the past year since they've arrived here, they are a major reason why we are enjoying the remarkable reductions in crime throughout this city.
And the beauty of the drug case, too, as you well know, once you get through some of the preliminary motions, very high likelihood of success in prosecution of same, right?
Well, exactly. So, you know, these troopers, you know, they are wearing body cams. They have vehicle cams involved in it. They are using technology like crime cameras to support a lot of their work. They have the full resources of the Louisiana State Police, which means their crime lab. So they have the capability in the cases that they're making to do DNA. Right now, the NOPD has to outsource their DNA. Most of their DNA tests go to the State Police crime lab, and they're throttled because they don't have... The state police doesn't have the capability to do the level of DNA testing that the city of New Orleans needs for the New Orleans Police Department. So they're primarily limiting the police department's DNA testing to blood DNA. The state police have not only the use of blood DNA, but touch DNA. So with respect to drug cases and gun cases, particularly in cars, You know, the state police can confiscate the weapon and also document that the offender that they apprehended in the car's DNA is on the weapon, which is the type of evidence that juries want to see when they're presented with a case for deliberation during a prosecution. Nearly 100% of the state felony arrests that are made by the state police in the first 6 months of this year are accepted for prosecution by the Attorney General's office because of the meticulous investigations that are being done, supported by technology and crime cameras and body cameras. So, you know, state police are already proving their value, and we would not be experiencing the degree of crime reductions that we have in this city were they not here. And this is only with a troop half the size of what they're building towards. So I expect that, you know, the state police are going to be an even more significant contributor as they grow and learn how to work with the NOPD even more seamlessly as their numbers increase. So this is good news. And, we maybe don't realize, and I'm hoping that, you know, after this segment of this show, the public realizes how impactful the state police have been in this city in a short period of time.
No, absolutely, no doubt about it. And I understand that they are in the process of graduating some other classes, and they hope to be able to bolster Troop NOLA here in a very short period of time.
Absolutely. And, you know, the beauty of a permanent troop here is previously the state police, you know, had deployments of troopers that would come here and work overtime, but they come from other parts of the state. The troopers that are working in Troop NOLA live in this community. They're from here. They live around here. So they get to know, you know, the city of New Orleans like the back of their hand. And, you know, that is invaluable for law enforcement to know the area that they're policing. So their permanent presence here means that, you know, troopers from North Louisiana, you know, that want to work in Troop NOLA are going to have to come down and live in this area. And I think that adds to, I think, the impact, you know, that troopers and law enforcement can have because they're familiar with the challenges and the unique aspects of policing that this city require. So I think that as that next class graduates, some of those are experienced people from law enforcement. Some of them are former NOPD. They're going to be working in this city instead of in the uniforms of the police department, but in the uniforms of the Louisiana State Police. And we win either way.
Yeah. Got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission, talking about some important stats about what's going on in the streets of New Orleans. We'll be back with more. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We had just been talking about Troop NOLA and some of the great work that they've been able to do in a very short period of time. They're still in the infancy of this troop being here and designated to be here on a permanent basis, and we look forward to that. They've lived up to their word in making sure that they continue to grow, and we're very excited about that as well. Rafi, let's move on to, I think you have some really good stats relative to quarterly NOPD district-level crime trends.
All right. So we're releasing on your show our first 6 months analysis of crime trends on a district-by-district basis. Normally, what we do is we release aggregate citywide crime rates. But what we do twice a year, in July and in January, we review the 6 months of crime trends in each of the eight individual districts. So we're tracking what the crime rate has been citywide over the last several years, and we're doing the same thing, but in a more granular measure with respect to district-level crime. So we can tell you what the crime rate has been in each district going back to 2019. So the crime reductions overall that we are experiencing in the city are also being verified when you look at the individual districts. So the first district, violent crime in the first 6 months of this year is down 16% versus the same period of time in 2024. The second district is down 32%. The third district is down 7%. The fourth district is down 14%. The fifth district down 28%. The sixth district down 24%. The seventh district down 15%. The eighth district down 27%. So people want to know what crime is like and what are the causes for crime and the causes for crime being diminished in their neighborhoods. And breaking it down by districts gives the public the ability to see how their neighborhoods are doing versus the rest of the city. So every district has its unique challenges, and the police department allows for each district to deploy their resources to address the unique circumstances of their district. But everybody knows that the NOPD is still struggling with a manpower crisis. The staffing levels of the New Orleans Police Department are at their lowest level in over five decades. So we've got on paper under 900 officers, but, you know, the people that are dialing 911, they expect an NOPD officer to show up. And we talked about this last week. The NOPD, because of their manpower limitations, are responding and triaging their resources to and prioritizing violent calls for service. So, you know, taking a look at the violent crime rate, we're seeing that they're being very, very successful there. And the people that they are arresting for violent crime are generalists. So some of those individuals that had committed a violent crime that the police are arresting, they've also committed property crimes and drug crimes and weapons crimes. But now, since they've been arrested for a violent crime, it means that they're likely going to remain in pretrial custody, which means that not only are they being held accountable for the violent offense for which they've been arrested for, but they're also, because they're in pretrial custody, they're not on the streets to commit other crimes, which further drives down the crime rate, which means that the police, having fewer calls for service, can respond to more calls in a more timely manner. And they can devote more time to investigations that allow the police to identify who the perpetrators are and arrest those perpetrators, which, again, further reduces the calls for service and the crime rate. So when we take a look at what's been happening in the 8th districts, we see that homicide is down 13% citywide this year. But it's important to note that nearly one quarter of all the homicides in this city occurred on January 1st as the result of the Bourbon Street terror attack. So imagine what our crime rate would be were it not for that aberration, what occurred on January the 1st. We can't take that away, and that's not to diminish the tragedy of what occurred. But that was something the city has never experienced before. We had 14 homicides committed in the 8th District on that day in the terrorist attack. And there was one that actually occurred before the terrorist attack. There were 15. Since the terrorist attack, since January the 1st, there have been zero homicides in the 8th District. So, you know, when you take a look at the strategies that are being deployed, these numbers don't happen randomly. There's a cause and effect for all of this. And what we're seeing is the police department has a strategy. And the strategy that they're using, despite the fact of their understaffing, is yielding the results that the public expects. There were 100 non-fatal shooting incidents in the first 6 months of 2025, which is the lowest number we've experienced over the past 7 years. The 5th District showed the largest improvement in non-fatal shootings, by the fatal shooting rate declining by 50% when compared to last year. So, to put this in some context, there have been 58 non-fatal shootings in the 5th District in 2025 versus 115 in 2022. So you're seeing the police department using their resources strategically to reduce crime, and the 5th District is no different than any of the other districts. Yes, the 5th District and the 7th District historically have been some of the crime hotspots in the city of New Orleans, but even in those crime hotspots within those districts, the crime rate has been down year after year, quarter after quarter, week after week. And that doesn't happen by chance. It's because of the hard work and the coordination and cooperation of the NOPD. And the same thing applies to carjacking. So carjackings literally exploded in 2021 and continued to increase since 2022 into 2022. In 2023, carjackings began to drop quickly. We saw a 45% decline from 22 to 23, and a 69% drop between 22 and 24. But in 2025, we've experienced another 33% decline versus 2024 rates. There have only been 32 carjackings reported in the first six months of this year, which is a seven-year low. So the reasons that carjackings are down are because law enforcement has done a good job, particularly the police department, in arresting the individuals, identifying who those perpetrators are. Police don't have a crystal ball. They can't predict and know where the criminal offenders are. They have to be able to respond and employ strategies. Part of the strategies that are being deployed are the state police working in some of the hot spots, engaging in proactive policing. And as the state police arrest violent and repeat offenders for traffic and drug offenses, it results in fewer calls for service that allows the NOPD to respond to calls for service for violent offenses more rapidly, which increases the potential of the police department being able to identify and arrest of the people responsible for those violent offenses, which further reduces crime throughout the city. So this is a remarkable example of, you know, the coordination and cooperation and hard work of the NOPD and their partner, their primary partner in the Louisiana State Police in driving down violent crime throughout the city of New Orleans, literally in every district within the city of New Orleans.
Have you noticed a little bit of a resurgence of some shootings here lately? Seems as though Little Woods is becoming a little hot spot again. A couple of other areas in the upper nine, a little bit in the lower nine.
Yes. So, I mean, as you know, violent crime, there are going to be spikes, peaks, and valleys. So the most important thing is not allowing those peaks to span over multiple weeks and multiple quarters, which means that the police need to be constantly assessing the trends that are emerging in each neighborhood and deploying their resources accordingly. So when there is a spike, like you're talking about, part of the strategy will be to get the state police to do some hotspot policing in those neighborhoods. So their increased presence and visibility will reduce the potential. The fact that they're doing traffic and drug enforcement, what we're seeing is a lot of the violence involves drug activity. So by doing that type of enforcement, it allows for the state police to step in, and NOPD is also doing that as well. We're seeing, an increase in drug arrests, not just by the state police, but by the NOPD and the people that remain in pretrial custody. So this isn't about trying to arrest people for possessions of small amounts of marijuana. The people that are being arrested for narcotics offenses are going to be involved in more serious types of crime. When the police do observe someone violating the drug laws of this state, they have an obligation to arrest them. That doesn't mean that those offenders stay in jail. The only reason that drug offenders remain in pretrial custody is because their bail is set by a judge based not just on the offense for which they've been arrested, but the judge under the law takes into consideration the offender's prior conviction record. So if you have a drug offender that's being held in pretrial custody, you can be assured that they remain in pretrial custody because their criminal record is to the level that allows for the judge to set and justifies the judge setting higher bail. So many of those individuals where the police arrest someone for observe a drug transaction, they find out that drug transaction, that offender was a convicted felon. If they find a firearm in their possession, that drug offense becomes an additional charge of a convicted felon in possession of a firearm, which is going to drive up the bail and reduce the potential of them being out on the streets. So, again, when there are spikes in crime, and there are always going to be spikes in crime, what we're seeing is those spikes are flattened out rather quickly by the police department and their partner, the state police, deploying their resources to counter the spikes in crime that emerge in each neighborhood.
All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back with Rafael Goyeneche's final thoughts. He's the president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We are back with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, any kind of update on the Ann Bro case? I think the mayor had appealed something that was favorable to Ann Bro. And where does that stand at the present time?
Well, so the only thing that the mayor is doing more than traveling is appealing adverse rulings from the courts from her. So her two pastimes are travel on the public nickel and then appealing adverse decisions that she's receiving in lower court. So we previously spoken about in 2024, the MCC released a photograph of the mayor dining on the balcony of Tableau Restaurant with Officer Jeffrey Vappy, the executive protection officer assigned to her security. Essentially, that was a date that was being paid for while Officer Vappy was on the clock to protect her, which is a violation of departmental policy. He ultimately left the police department and has since been indicted by the federal authorities. And the mayor, in response to Ann Bro releasing that picture to the Crime Commission, filed a restraining order in civil court. That restraining order was dismissed by the judge as baseless and ordered the mayor to pay $15,000 in attorney's fees to Ann Bro's attorney. The mayor appealed that decision to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. We talked about this 2 weeks ago on your show, where the mayor's appeal to the Fourth Circuit was denied, and she was ordered to pay an additional $8,000 in attorney's fees to Ann Bro's attorney to go in and defend that. Now we're finding out the mayor has appealed the Fourth Circuit's decision to the Louisiana Supreme Court. So I suspect that that appeal will result in the same outcome that her two previous filings in this case, and she will owe Ann Bro's attorney even more funds as the result of that. So what this demonstrates is the mayor's arrogance in thinking that she can use city resources to bully people around, and she picked the wrong person when she decided to try and bully Ann Bro around, because she's got, you know, a tenacious attorney. And I think that, you know, this is only delaying the inevitable and is going to cost the mayor even more money with her arrogance in appealing these rulings that are based on sound law and legal principles.
Yes, it will be interesting to see how that ultimately plays out for sure. Doesn't seem like she has the law going on her side either, the mayor, that is.
No.
So it will be an interesting outcome for certain. As always, we appreciate the time and the that you spend with us and the great information that your organization does a great job of pulling together, and we appreciate same. Rafi, have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you, Neil. All right.
Thank you, sir. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Scoot's headed our way. We'll be right back. We'll check in with him. Stay with us. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we're going to get an update on what's going on with the trash in the French Quarter. And I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the trash on the street. So we're going to get an update on what the hell's going on with that. And we've got a lot more to get to this afternoon.
All right, folks. Scoot's headed your way with a great lineup. Hope you enjoyed today's show. See you